My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is that attribute in the Christian armor that protects us from the darts of the evil one in some ways. Just like the shield of faith protects us, so our righteousness does not allow the devil and his temptations to penetrate us. You know, as we think about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, our righteousness and our desire to do right is what protects us from those temptations. I want you to listen to a few passages from the book of Proverbs that illustrate the value of righteousness. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 30, the Proverb writer said, "The righteous will never be moved, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth." In Proverbs chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright or astray, but the wicked will fall by his own ways." The Bible says, "The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught in their lust." And listen to the words of Proverbs 12 and verse 28. The Bible says, "He who trusts in riches," Proverbs 12, verse 28, "in the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathway, there is no death." Righteousness is one of the most valuable things we could have. It gives us life. It protects us from the evil one. And friend, it's that which shields off some of the temptation of the devil. Now, how do we become righteous people? Psalm 119, verse 172 says that all of God's commandments are righteous. We're told to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. We're told to be holy as He is holy, Matthew 6:33, 1 Peter 1, verse 15. And so as we think about the righteousness of God, the only way we can be righteous is when we look to the character of God, when we look to the Scriptures to find out what is right in God's sight. And then by putting those principles to practice in our life, we can be a righteous people. And friend, be sure that righteousness is essential to our being saved. The writer of the book of Hebrews spoke about righteousness in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, and he said this, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness." Now notice, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's how important it is that we try to be a righteous and holy people. Now, I know we're not saying that we're better than anybody else. That's not what we're talking about. But trying our best to live up to the standards of God's Word and God's character. And so we put on the belt of truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then Paul mentions that we must put on the gospel boots as part of the Christian armor. Part of this armor is the gospel boots, as was mentioned. And friend, if you've ever been in a battle or you've ever been camping, you know how important a good pair of boots is. Those boots to stay dry, to keep your feet comfortable. If your feet hurt and if your feet are wet and you've got bruises or sores on them, you'll never make it. You'll never make it in any kind of adventure. And so the same is true in the Christian armor. If the gospel is not what we shod our feet with, if it's not what our life is built around, there's no way we're going to make it. Notice Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Here Paul mentions the gospel boots and he says, "Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Our life being prepared by the gospel, that being what our life is about, the way we live, we put that on our feet, and wherever we go, the gospel goes with us. This is so important as it relates to knowing and understanding the gospel. How can you prepare your life by the gospel if you don't know the gospel? 2 Timothy 2:15, we're to study so we can know. We're to be like those noble people in Acts 17:11 who were willing to search the Scriptures daily. We're to be ready always to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and with fear. And we're to hide God's Word in our heart so that we might not sin against Him. Psalm 119 and verse 11. And so we've got to ask ourselves, are we really living our life by the prepared gospel? Have we prepared our ways by the Lord's ways? You see, all these points tie together: the belt of truth, righteousness, the gospel boots. And then Paul is going to mention another very important aspect in the Christian armor, and that is the shield of faith. This is probably one of the more essential items, especially as Paul mentions in Ephesians 6, verse 16. He tells us about how important it is to have the shield of faith and what an important value it is to the Christian life. Notice Ephesians 6, verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The history of this shield of faith is very interesting from the Roman era. During battle, the enemy might have arrows that were soaked in something like kerosene, and they would fire those arrows, those flaming arrows, at the enemy. Anything they hit would catch a fire, and it would completely destroy their defenses. And so as a way of protecting themselves, they had a shield that was soaked in something like leather and drenched in water. And as soon as the arrows hit that, they were quenched. Having the shield of faith by which we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Friends, it's faith that is going to help us to win the battle. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's no way we're going to be a pleasing to the Father if we're not willing to have the faith God describes in Scripture. Think about 1 John 5 verse 4. This is the victory we have, even our faith. Whatever is born of God, tells us, overcomes the world, and this is our victory, the faith we have over the world. Now, how is it that a person gets that type of faith? How is it that we can prepare ourselves with the shield of faith? If faith is obedient trust in God, then friends, that trust is gained by reading about God and learning of Him in the Scriptures. In fact, that's how the Bible tells us we get faith. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't get faith in God by some better felt than told idea. You can't get faith in God by some mystic moving in the middle of the night. Faith comes by Scripture, by putting your trust in God as you read and learn about Him in the Bible. The proverb writer said in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 that we've got to learn to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. But then the Scripture also outlines two more items in the Christian armor. The first is that of the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects us in our thinking ability, our brain being one of the most important items to keep us going, to help us think clearly. And thus, part of the Christian armor that is supremely important is the helmet of salvation. What is it that protects us in that area? It's the fact that if I die, if I even lose my life in the here and now, I've got salvation on my side. Friend, one of the greatest tools we have in the battle against the devil is, no matter how harsh the temptation comes, even if it's like in Job's time, no matter how severe the persecution may be, no matter how fearful the enemy is, if I remain faithful to God, I can be guaranteed I'll have a home in heaven. Friend, you can't find a more encouraging piece of Christian armor than that. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, and notice what Paul says about this helmet of salvation. He says here that we're to put on, above all, the helmet of salvation. This helmet helps us to realize that our life, although important to God, our soul is really what's important. Think about Revelation 2 verse 10. Jesus said, you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Think about the words of Revelation 14 verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yet says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I think about promises like that found in 1 John 2 and verse 25. This is the promise He's promised us, eternal life, no matter what happens. If I remain true to God, the Bible says I've got a home in heaven. And friend, you can't find more comfort or encouragement than that. But then the last part of the Christian armor is the sword of the Spirit, found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. No soldier is going to go to battle without some kind of weapon. But our weapon given to us as Christians is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 17. Here he tells us, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's Word is the spiritual tool we have to defeat the devil. And friends, you can't have a better tool than the Word of God. Romans 1:16 says it's God's power unto salvation. It's a two-edged sword. I want you to notice what Paul, the Hebrew writer, said in Hebrews 4, verse 12, about the power, the cutting power of God's Word. Look at this passage, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the faults and intents of the heart. Look at how sharp and how powerful that is. It's able to pierce right through a man and see what he's really made of. Ephesians 4, verse 15, we're told to speak the truth in love. And so how is it that we overcome Satan? How is it that we defeat the devil? We've got to understand we're in a battle. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. And we've got to utilize the spiritual victory plan. I believe this plan is laid out for the child of God in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. To suffering Christians in the book of Revelation, we're told this: and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. The blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Jesus. The word of their testimony, that's what we have today as the Scripture, and they did not love their lives unto death. My friends, that's self-sacrifice. And so today we can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb that was slain in the Old Testament era was a symbol of something pure and perfect taking the place of sinners. John the Baptist saw Jesus approaching, and he said in John 1 verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." You see, Hebrews 10 verses 3 and 4 said that the blood of bulls and goats, it could never really take away sin. But Hebrews 10, 12 says, "This man, Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God." His sacrifice, being a perfect one, Hebrews 4, verse 15, was able to completely remove the guilt and the stain of sin to those who obeyed him. And so we've got the sacrifice of Jesus. Then we also have the word of their testimony, which for us is the Scripture. The Scriptures, you see, are our spiritual light. It's like turning on a flashlight in a world of darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's that which makes us spiritually clean. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. The Scripture is that which helps us to prevent sin in our life. God's word we hide in our heart that we might not sin against him. Psalm 119 and verse 11. But then there's a third aspect in the spiritual victory plan. Not only do we look to the sacrifice of Jesus, not only do we put the word of God to use in our lives, but we've got to be willing not to love our lives to the death. That means that we've got to sacrifice ourselves to the cause of Christ. Now, we're not talking about you going out and doing something foolish, hurting yourself or harming your body in the name of Jesus. What we're talking about is being willing every day to give your life to Christ, to submit your will and surrender your will to the will of God. You see, the Scripture teaches in Romans 12, verse 1, that we are living sacrifices. The Scriptures teach that we ought to consider ourselves crucified with Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20. The Scriptures teach us that we're to deny ourselves and take up our own cross daily. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And friend, the Scripture teaches us that the love of God ought to compel us to die to self daily, to live for Jesus. And so we ask you today, are you really in the battle to win? Are you aware that Satan is trying right now to cause you to lose your soul? If so, have you put on the whole armor of God? Are you prepared spiritually to go to battle against the devil? And have you taken up the spiritual battle victory plan? Have you put to work these principles in your life so that you may overcome the devil? If you're not a Christian, you can very simply become one by obeying the gospel. Do what Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." And if you are a Christian, then our encouragement to you today is don't ever give up. Always remain true to God and fight the good fight of faith.